Candela. What's happening, Miami? What's happening? Thank you guys for tuning in and welcome to episode 6 of Radio Red Pill. This is Red Pill Rolly coming to you live from the Radio Red Pill headquarters. And we have got a great show for you guys today. I hope you made it back safely and happily from your Thanksgiving holiday. We had a great Thanksgiving with our family. We celebrated Thanksgiving. I don't give a shit who closes us down or doesn't close us down. We are going to celebrate Thanksgiving and get together with our family. It's just the way we are. That's how Cubans are. Todo cubano. You guys know how it is. We're not going to turn down that turkey or any of that good rice and beans for nobody, right? So they can try, but it's not going to happen, man. So first thing we're going to get to is we're going to get to some sports. It's going to be quick. There's not a lot happening in Miami on the sporting side. The Miami Marlins acquired a sidearm reliever for a whopping $100,000 from the Cleveland Indians. And we also put Jose Urania up for assignment. So that is, that's pretty much all that's going on in the Marlins. And then we've got the Dolphins won their first game back against the Jets. Then again, my high school football team could probably beat the Jets right now. They're not a very good team. But Fitzpatrick, with his epic beard, he threw for 24 out of 39 with 257 yards, two touchdowns. He got the Finns back in the win column, which is kind of what we want. Tua was out, of course, with his thumb injury, but we hope to have him back soon. And, you know, in the meantime, Fitz is doing his thing out there. So let's see. You know, he's got that beard. I have to mention the beard because I firmly believe that if he cut the beard off, he would suffer the same fate as Samson would, which explains why he keeps a beard like that in 90-degree Miami weather. But nevertheless, he did good, and we won, and we are up in the win column, and we're looking good moving into week 12. Okay, so there's nothing else crazy going on in Miami as far as the sports goes. We are going to talk a little bit about politics. What a coincidence. So we're going to talk a little bit about politics today. First thing we're going to talk about is Sidney Powell. Now, Sidney Powell is supposed to be the Kraken, right? So
release the Kraken.
Listen, you guys know, I already talked about this in episode 4, I believe it was, the smoking gun. You know, I think we need some information. But right now, what we do know is that Sidney Powell has dropped her lawsuits against all the states that she was going to file. Well, maybe not Wisconsin yet. She's filed against Georgia last week. Now she's added a suit against Michigan, and she's planning another one in Wisconsin. So Democrats, of course, they were quick to point out spelling, grammatical errors on the filing. Obviously, she was rushing through this, and the people that were typing this were rushing through it, but they chose to focus much more on that than to focus on the information inside this document. So in a nutshell, it points to massive statistical and analytical anomalies. Now, you guys all know also from episode 4 that I talked about these anomalies and statistics, and I feel like we're going to need a smoking gun. I don't think that look, I follow this crap all the time, right? I want it to come to light.
You can't handle the truth.
If America voted one way and we're being cheated, well, you know, God damn it, I really want it to come to light. But the problem is that I personally consider myself to have a pretty high intellect, and I grasp the explanations that are given, and I see the anomalies. And despite all this, it still doesn't convince me. Like, it does. It convinces me that some crazy stuff happened, some little sneaky stuff happened, and obviously they did something. I mean, I can see that the things that happened are impossible. I can see it. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? And I know that there's some of you guys out there that are saying, okay, nothing is impossible. And you're right, you know, but there's some statistical anomalies that are just so freaking incredible that you just can't accept them happening. And like, what, you ask? Okay, so how about the fact that, and this is proven data that was collected in Georgia, okay, that the counts restarted after the count restarted, after it was stopped in Georgia, The votes began to accumulate for Biden, but they didn't just accumulate randomly. They weren't in random amounts. They began to accumulate in the same precise percentage, okay? Same precise percentage for Biden versus Trump, meaning if it was, they were accumulating at 23%, well, in all these counties, it was exactly the same, 23%, 23%. And they kept accumulating until Biden took the lead. Once he took the lead, that's it. Everything went back to randomness, and that was all. But as he progressed, it was all the same precise percentage in different counties until he took the lead. I find that to be highly irregular, to say the least. And then you take other statistical data, right? And you compare it out of, like, let's say the stuff that happened in Michigan. In Michigan, some weird stuff happened too. So if you take a small sample of something, say 10 people, we put 10 people together and you ask them, hey, who do you like, Biden or Trump? It's very possible you'll get 9 Biden guys and 1 Trump guy. It's very possible you'll get 10 Trump guys and 1 Biden guy. You got 10 people and all of them think the same. And, you know, they're all from some class in Berkeley. They're all going to be Biden guys, right? Okay. So, or Biden girls or whatever, Biden binaries. I don't know what the hell. They're going to be Biden people, all right? Because nobody knows what the fuck they are. But they're going to be Biden people. So then you take your sample size and you grow it. So let's say now you went from 10 people to like 1,000 people. You take 1,000 people and you'll notice that instead of being a 90-10 split, it's going to go to like an 80-20 split, because the larger your sample size, the smaller the disparity between the two options. They get closer. So what you end up happening is you get an 80-20 split and you go up and you do 10,000 people and you get a bigger sample size, and you'll notice that it'll go down to maybe 70-30. By the time you get to 100,000 people that you've asked this question to, you're going to get a lot closer to what reality is, right? And reality is we're pretty much split down the middle, maybe 60-40, maybe 60 or 55, you know, 45, somewhere in there, okay? So check this out. In Michigan, there were counties that the votes came back, and I'm not talking about like 2,000 votes or 3,000 votes. I'm talking about 173,000 votes, and it was 96% Biden, 4% Trump. That doesn't even make sense. Like, you can't get that, right? We're 140,000 votes, 96% Biden, 4% Trump. They were gaining. That's how he gained all this, like, ground. Okay, it's a statistical anomaly that's so large. I mean, it's like, shit, it's like telling me that Cardi B made it onto the cover of Religious Times magazine 3 times, right? It's just not going to happen, okay? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's not impossible, but fuck yes, it's impossible. Cardi B's never going to be on the cover of Religious Times, not once, but even less 3 times. If that happens, it's a statistical anomaly that I'm going to say something's happening there and she's screwing the Pope. Something's going on, okay? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, okay? But anyway, so in the words of, like, Mr. Incomprehensible himself, come on, man. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, so all of this weirdness has happened. They've showed it, and she's proving it, or she's putting the evidence out there. But is it going to be enough? I don't think so. I think that without tracking the data dump, right, without some kind of proof that, or some kind of witness that says, yep, I did it, screw you Trump guys, and to hell with all of you, I don't care, I did it, and up yours, right? Without that guy, the anomalies alone, I don't think the statistical data alone, I don't think it's enough to flip the states. But that's because I don't think anybody has the balls to do it. I you know, like, for example, where's the FBI in all this? Like, the FBI is not doing a goddamn thing, honestly, about this. They're not. Look, don't believe me. Like, I'm just some Cuban guy who likes to talk a lot, and I have a podcast, right? Listen to Trump. Like, Trump is the president. He was interviewed by Maria Bartiromo, whatever her name is, from Fox, and he basically said, look, they tell me that they're looking into it, but I don't see anything happening. You know, the Justice Department, I basically said, look, I'm going to stay out of it. You guys do your job. And again, I see nothing happening. So that's, you know, the president telling you, hey, FBI is not doing shit about it. So I don't see anything happening. I know that they're not going to go and say things to the media unless Jim Comey is the head of the FBI, in which case he'll just leak stuff and say all kinds of stuff. But that guy's not there anymore. So we've lost our inside scoop on the FBI. So I don't see the FBI doing anything. And if this is a case, like if the premier law enforcement agency in the world, for sure in the United States, doesn't want to stick their neck out to defend the truth, right? Because the idea here is not, oh, let's defend Trump. It's not about defending Trump. It's about defending the American people. We got screwed. We being all Americans. Now, we got screwed because people cheated on the election. They went and they did this whole, you know, la-di-da with the Russian collusion investigation. Nobody cared. They spent millions of dollars. Great. And it didn't matter because supposedly Russia meddled in our election, even though the United States meddles in everybody's elections. But okay, in this case, they wanted to research this. So somebody actually meddled in the election, right? Like somebody cheated, whether it was Americans that cheated or it was other people, but somebody cheated this Dominion software. Somebody was dumping votes in the middle of the night when everybody was sleeping. Boom, they dumped votes. Bernie Sanders announced that that was going to happen and nobody gives a shit. Nobody's investigating. Nobody's got any wiretaps. Nobody, the NSA records everything. They know when I pee. They know when I fart. They know when anything happens. Nobody can catch these guys. Nobody has like irrefutable evidence. Say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Nobody saw this coming. There's no evidence. It's all circumstantial. It was statistically impossible. Not enough. I don't think it's enough to flip the country around and create this kind of havoc, the havoc that would be created if they do flip it. So I think all the regional or state courts are going to not do anything. And if it goes to the Supreme Court, I don't think they're going to have the cojones to do it either. I just don't think so. I don't think so, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. So the scariest thing for me is this crazy feeling that we have nobody to turn to. You have nobody to trust. You can't trust the media. The media is completely bought and paid for. Every single person that you listen to on both sides, but mostly on the left, they're just an arm of the Democratic machine, of the Democrat party. The Republicans have a few voices and, you know, their opinions, and there's very little investigative journalism going on. I mean, you know, I try to get you guys whatever information I can find and discover. And then even that, you got to be real careful. So I want to be very honest about the fact that I don't get any insider scoop. I don't have somebody in the White House. It's not like I'm banging the maid or something like that, that cleans the White House. I have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know any more than most of you, but I do know a lot more than some of you. And that's because I follow this stuff all the time. So whatever I gather from that investigating, then I kind of put it together and I see what's going on and I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is right now we're fighting an uphill battle and it seems to me like we're not getting anywhere. But again, I have limited information just like all of us do. And I do see some serious circumstantial evidence. So I do see serious statistical evidence. And I think when you combine that with affidavits, I mean, these people are saying, hey, look, we got kicked out. Okay, why did they kick them out? What the hell are they hiding? I don't know. Something doesn't add up there. So at some point, you know, they should have enough to prove something. I just don't think they have it in time. And this machine is rolling and it's a big machine. You know what I mean? It's all the media. Everybody's trying to paint Trump as some sore loser, trying to paint anybody who believes that it wasn't the cleanest election in the world a conspiracy theorist, even though Biden couldn't get five people out to one of his rallies. He somehow mustered up 80 million votes. I mean, if you believe that, like, I don't think there's hope for you, right? Like, no matter what I say, if you can believe that, like, with a straight face, there's no hope for you. So, whatever, move on from that. I don't know who's going to clear this up for us, okay? I think we're all going to be kind of left in the dark, and I don't see who's going to clear this up. And, you know, that's unfortunate. I hope somebody steps in and becomes this, you know, bastion of the truth. But if the FBI is not doing it, and nobody believes Trump, and the media is corrupt, the fuck's going to tell us? Me? Hi. The truth is, we got screwed. But whatever. Nobody's going to believe me either. So let's talk. Well, listen, COVID's still out there. Let's talk about that. It continues to be a problem. People are dying. I know all of a sudden nobody dies from the flu. Nobody dies from anything. It's all COVID related. No matter what happens, it's COVID related. COVID's out there. It obviously exists, but the science still says it's 99.9% survival rate. So I have a serious problem with, like, they tried to close Thanksgiving and all this craziness. Like, they're, when I say they, the government and people in the government are imposing some serious stuff. But I mean, you also have to be careful. So it's like, what do? You know what I mean? Do you wear a mask? Yeah, you wear a mask for other people. You don't want them to get sick, and you don't want that person to be the one person that you got sick and they die. But the other side of this is the vaccine's coming out. So what do we do about that? Do we take the vaccine? Do we not take the vaccine? I mean, if you take the vaccine, you're pretty much sticking a bunch of stuff that you don't know what it is in your body. I don't know if they've even, I read somewhere that they haven't even isolated the COVID-19. It could be that we're just vaccinating ourselves against a coronavirus, which coronaviruses have been around forever, which is just a common cold. So I don't know what the hell. I don't know if to take the vaccine or not. But then you listen to people like Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly says that if you don't take the vaccine, you won't be able to travel. So apparently he's got some inside scoop here. But if you don't take the vaccine, you're not going to get a stamp on your passport. And if you don't get the stamp on your passport, you can't leave the country. So if you want to go to the Bahamas or whatever on a cruise, you're not going unless you take the vaccine. So get ready for that, because I don't want to take a vaccine for a virus that has a 99% survival rate, because I've done a million things that have been much more risky than 0.1%. Surviving, and it just sucks. But then, you know, some people say you got to think about other people if you get them sick. So, but I don't know, man, it's a complicated thing. Okay. Because if they force you to get a vaccine for something with a 99.99% survival rate, what are they going to force you to do when it's something like that can really kill you, like 80% or 60% or something like the Spanish flu or something, that where it'll really mess you up. You know what I mean? What are they going to do then? God help us. Okay. So I guess we have to wait and see how this whole thing pans out. If you guys have any comments on that, or you guys want to shoot me an email, I'm happy to read them and see. I'd like to see where you guys stand on that issue of the vaccine, if you want to take it or not. Maybe we'll do one of those, I'll talk to my social media guru, and we'll do a poll to see who would take the vaccine, who wouldn't. Let's see where it's at now, and then maybe we'll do another poll later. As this thing plays out, we'll see if people change their mind or not. In closing, one of the things that's really starting to scare me that I've read a lot about, again, trying to keep the podcast at about 20, 25 minutes, is this whole deal with defunding the police throughout the country. I personally have had friends, you know, I always talk about police officers, first responders. I've had friends who've experienced the effects of the defunding, not only because they're losing hours or they're losing pay, but also because of the way that the police is responding. You know, a lot of officers don't want to do their job because their pay has been cut or they've been demonized, and they're just like, to hell with it, you know? And I totally understand that. I totally understand that. But it's a really sad thing because, you know, I come from a Cuban background. My family's Cuban. They went through, being a descendant of Cuban parents and grandparents, I've heard the stories of things like community overwatch groups taking their guns away, how the communist regime took the guns away before they were before they announced that they were communist, left the country and the country folk, the citizens, defenseless. They couldn't defend themselves against the government. And I've been to Cuba firsthand. I've seen the effects of the population being defenseless. I've seen, you know, I looked at it as something that I kind of did a little project on when I went the first time, because I was born in the United States. As a person who's heard all the stories, I couldn't quite understand me, especially me being a fighter and a person who considers himself a warrior. I would fight for this country. I could not understand why people weren't fighting for Cuba. And I know some people were. I know some people did. And I know some people suffered. So that's unfair to say. But I just don't see how the youth sat there and took it and didn't just, it didn't come unraveled. And then I went to Cuba and I realized that a lot of the stuff that's happening here happened there. Okay. You know, and we don't live it. You're living it now. And there's flags, there's warning signs, and you guys have to listen. I mean, it's the reason Radio Red Pill was created. It's because of these warning signs. Okay. They defund the police. They're creating overwatch groups. So this is basically snitches, right? Community snitches. And those community snitches are just looking around for stuff. So if you're kind of a person that's gung-ho and a go-getter, and you're self-motivated, and you have your own business, and you push and you work all the time, you're just not the community overwatch guy, okay? Or girl or lady. You're not that guy. You have plenty of things to do. Your time is occupied. You play sports. You do a million things. You're not that person. Usually the people that do these things are people that have a lot of time on their hands, and they end up making other citizens' lives impossible because there's no police anymore. So you would think, these are going to be superheroes and they're going to take care of the town. And if anything happens, anything strange, and it probably starts off that way, but eventually, people have their own agendas and, I don't like what this guy's doing. And this guy's building a trellis in the back of his house that he shouldn't be building. And this, and you end up empowering people who have nothing better to do. And so in Cuba, this happened, and you can ask anybody in Cuba. It's horrible because there's no cops in any town. There's very few. And what ends up happening is people just snitch you out to them, and then they come to your door, and then they say, hey, they told me you did this, and boom, you're gone. And then you got to prove your innocence. It's not like the United States. It's, you basically were turned in by the community overwatch. So this sucks, guys. It's leading down that path, right? It's a slippery slope. Okay. It's a slippery slope. And then it's also leading down the path of looking in Virginia. They're passing a bunch of laws that are not constitutional. They're just unconstitutional laws. And then police officers are being placed in a situation where they have to enforce unconstitutional laws, and they have to choose whether they're going to do that or not. And it's getting to the point, which I had talked to my buddies about this a while ago, but it's getting to the point where it's happening. They're going to start when Biden gets in there, they're going to start buying back guns, or they're going to start forcing you to register. And they're going to start looking at people that have purchased certain firearms, and law abiding citizens who have done absolutely nothing wrong are going to end up having things that they're not supposed to have. And then there's going to be people who are going to have to enforce either putting those people in jail or confiscating them, or God forbid, people just don't give them up. And so that's another issue, because if you look at history, all societies, not all societies, but most societies that are defenseless end up being ruled by some kind of socialist, communist, or monarchy, regime or a monarchy. It's not a good thing. Okay. We're free. This is America. Okay. I choose freedom over safety anytime. I choose liberty over security. And we all should. Okay. America was established by brave men and women, and it was made great by their determination not to conform to the whims of the British, the French, or whoever. Okay. Anybody else in the whole goddamn world, the United States, America was founded to get away from all that shit. Okay. And America puts the onus on the individual, not on the government. The government was there to assist in regulating everything, but it wasn't there to run the people. The people run the government. Okay. And we are, this is not, it's America under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all. Okay, it's not liberty and justice for a select few who lock you down and go to dinner at some posh restaurant paying a ton of money for their food with their close friends, and they don't give a shit about you, and they don't wear their masks. It's not liberty for them, and then you're locked in. It's not liberty for some witch with three refrigerators and a bunch of ice cream and a hair appointment that she can leave her house for anytime because she happens to be special. Listen. It's not about that. It's they're not free and you're not locked up. They're no better than you are. Okay. So that this government, they work for you. You don't work for them. They work for us. So it's our jobs to be vocal about that. If they're doing something that's unconstitutional or making you do something that you feel is wrong, like not being able to share Thanksgiving dinner and locking down, what is that, man? Like who thinks of that? Now, obviously, you don't want to throw a rave, right? And you don't want to be there partying and spitting and doing all kinds of stuff. But with your own family, like if you can't take a risk to be with your own family, what the hell are you on this planet for? You know what I mean? You got to live, man. Life is what it's about. Not, you know, being super careful. Don't walk across the street and God forbid, you know, I don't know. Anything like what? Everything is dangerous. Everything is fucking dangerous. Like, stop living in fear. Okay. Fear is how they control you. I'm not saying be crazy and be, you know, do things haphazardly and go out there and, you know, have unprotected sex with, you know, a prostitute. Like, that's ridiculous. You're going to get AIDS and you're going to die. Right. But I am saying go have dinner with your family and enjoy your family through the holidays. And if somebody gets sick, well, shit, I'm sorry. I mean, it's like if you have the flu and you go on a trip, which actually happened to me, you know, you don't just stay home and not go on the trip. You just go and a few people get the flu and everybody gets through it. And that's that, right? So it's the same thing. It's 99%. Everybody that I've known, at least personally, everyone that I've known has survived this thing. Nobody's died. Thank God, knock on wood. Okay. So, you know, I'm just saying this country is liberty and justice for all. So it's time you start acting like it, America. That's all I'm saying. Start acting like it. Liberty and justice for all. Okay. So anyway, tonight on our way out of here, I'm going to tell you that I have a special shout out for a buddy of mine, Larry at the Miami-Dade Police Department, Semper Fi Devil Dog. Keep kicking those recruit asses and taking names and hopefully, you know, getting some high quality individuals out on our streets as police officers. I know if anybody can do it, you can do it, my brother. And thank you for everything that you do. To all my first responders that are listening, God bless you. Okay. And listen, like I said, tough times are coming. One day soon, you may be faced with having to make a decision that could destroy somebody's life, even though it's unconstitutional. I would say you need to search your souls deep on that one, brothers and sisters, and let God be your guiding light, because I'm praying for you all. And in moments like this, we need to have God close to us. Okay. Do what's right for people, not what's right for politicians in this case, I would say. I hope everybody has a great week. I want to thank you all for listening. Video casts are coming soon. We're going to have some guests on soon as well. The YouTube channel is up right now. It's static images. That's the best I can do until I get everything situated here and I can shave my legs and look good for you guys on video. In the meantime, I want you to enjoy your day. I want you to tell somebody that you love them. And as always, Candela.